welcome, everyone. I'm Brad Rieger. I'm your host for A Basic Conversation. And the person I'm hosting, of course, is our theologian and experienced priest, Father Jim Basic. And today, we're going to deal with a question that probably all of us wrestle with at some point, and that is, how can I become a more patient person? And in all our conversations with you, Father Basic, it's always within the Christian context.
Yes.
So there's a lot of ways we can go with this, but I thought I've heard you speak on this topic a couple times, and I've picked a couple entrance points as far as kind of the Christian perspective and patience. So if you're open to that, how about we do that? But you can take it anywhere you want.
Okay.
All right.
You lead.
All right, I'll lead. So how about this? The world is really messed up, and all kinds of bad things are happening, and we're waiting for God to somehow intervene, and we're really losing patience, kind of with the state of the world and the lack of kind of someone riding in and straightening things out.
Yeah, okay. That's a nice beginning. First of all, I want to have a disclaimer. I don't want to propose myself as an expert on patience, existential patience. But yeah, that's a way to start. Things are not right in the world, and things are a lot of bad stuff going on. And I'm borrowing here from a oblate priest. Ronald Rollheiser wrote a book called The Holy Longing. So I don't want to propose this as my own thing, but so he makes a big thing out of, we got to start with patience and being patient with God, which I find that to be a fascinating idea, that because we say that God is running the world, right? We say God created the world and God sustains the world. And God, it will be the goal or final end of the world. So a lot of is, well, why, we got a messy situation in my family. I've been praying to God, how come he's not getting it fixed? Or I'm not happy with my church, and the church should do this or that, and God should be making the church be more faithful, or the world. I'm a peace lover, and we got all these wars. So why doesn't he do something? So I think that there's a fundamental theological question behind patience, and that is the way we perceive the way God acts on the world. And one way we could start by saying is God does not intervene in the ongoing development of the world. We got a 14 billion or more year process going on. To take this, as Thomas Berry liked to say, look at your hand and say that took 14 billion years to produce that hand, a long time. So a helpful Christian outlook is God sustains the world, creates the world, will bring the world to conclusion, but that he does not intervene. If you think about an intervening God, you say, well, why didn't he stop the Holocaust or the killing fields or the gulag? There's no way to go get out of that. If you think God's going to intervene because you said your prayers or your wife is a nice person or peace is better than war. So not intervening. So that part of, if we are patient with God, we have to say we have to accept the process. We have to deal with the world as it really is, as it's unfolding. And we can't force God to do something about it. So that's where I would locate patience with God to begin with.
Yeah, for sure. What about if we look at a second entry point, Jesus' life and some of the biblical stories or some of the parables?
Yeah. Yeah, well, before we start out in this overall scheme we got going, we got a God who loves the world, cares for the world, and showed his love for the world by sending his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to the world. So he becomes the manifestation of the God who we believe in, the fullness of God's revelation for us, the best the human race has produced. And so we look at the life of Jesus, and I always think his mother needed a lot of patience, you know. I mean, here he is, he's 30 years old, and he's still at home. I mean, Mary and Joseph need a lot of patience. Not only did he leave them stay behind in Jerusalem when he was 12, trying their patience, but now he's trying their patience on an everyday basis. Every young good Jewish man is married by now, and so there's a patience that he demonstrates in carrying out God's plan for him.
And the wheat and the weeds parable, is there some patience element to that, correct?
Yeah. Well, that's an illustration of the fundamental point that God doesn't intervene. And so the farmer sows good seed, and then a bad guy comes along and sows bad seed. The disciples want to get rid of the bad seed right now. And Jesus' story says, well, no, let it grow together. And at the harvest time, we'll separate it out. Now, that wasn't too practical. Would have been a good idea to get rid of it earlier, but let it grow. And it's sort of Jesus' way of saying, you have to go with the world as it is. You have to go with the process the way it is. Think about Jesus, too, in his life. I mean, he had to deal with disciples who were obtuse. I mean, he spent all this time trying to get them to understand, and you got to be born again. How are you going to go back into your mother's womb again? I mean, they're always misinterpreting. They're always taking things literally. And he takes, you don't go back in your mother's womb again. There's another kind of spiritual rebirth I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. So they don't get it. And all the way up to his death, they don't get it on the cross because they abandon him and run away. So he could be very impatient with his disciples, but after all that, after all their failures and misunderstandings, when he sees them after he's raised to life, his worst words are, peace be with you. Mm. Mellow out, guys, you know, peace be with you. We're going to get on with this. And so he exercises patience. Well, take the way he interacts with people, like Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is a tax collector, and he was ripping off the people, a collaborator, a quisling with the Roman occupying power. And Jesus says, Zacchaeus, this day I'm going to come and have dinner at your house. We'll talk it over. You know, so he's willing to engage people where they are without... you know, using the persuasion of persuasive power of love to do it. So, yeah, Jesus is himself, God's patience visible for us.
What about a third entry point here? The fruits of the Holy Spirit, with patience being one of the fruits.
Yeah, we in the Catholic world, we got 12 fruits of the peace, peace, kindness, and so on, a lot of them. One of them is patience. So I think that what that takes us back to is this business of being patient in everyday life with your spouse, your friends, your colleagues, with the world, with polarization, with wars and so on, is hard business. And at some point along the line, it becomes clear to us, we can't do this. I can't do this myself. I got limited powers, you know. I can only endure this much evil. I can only endure this much pain, this much of anything that's bad in the world. You know, I run up against my limitations. And that's where we begin to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. So we believe the Holy Spirit lives within it. That's what Jesus said. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit who will be your guide. He said, interesting, he said, it's better if I leave you, but because then I will send you the Spirit, and your Spirit will live within you. And the Spirit will be a renewable resource. The more you listen to that Spirit, the more the Spirit can influence you. He doesn't get tired and he doesn't run out of energy. He's a renewable source of energy, mm-hmm. and he's helping us to deal with those really times. A lot of people say, well, I'm fine, you know, in ordinary life. But my heavens, this brother-in-law of mine is after me constantly. And he came and was staying at our house for a week. I said to my sister, okay, and my wife, his sister, you know, okay, but man, I'll tell you, as that week is going on, I'm losing patience, man. And that's when I maybe realize I have to have the power of the Spirit. So the Spirit does surprising things. The Spirit is amazingly resourceful. And I think the very difficulty of being patient is maybe sets us back on relying on the Spirit. And we could do more of that, you know. A lot of our Western piety is believe in God, pray to God through Jesus. That's our focal points and so on. We could use more of the Spirit. And in this case, the Spirit, one of the fruits of the Spirit is patience.
Does discernment that Pope Francis brings, does that fit under the Holy Spirit?
Oh, it sure does, yeah. That's his way of making it concrete. Pope Francis, one of his big things, we have to discern. It's actually part of his Jesuit tradition. So he's the first Jesuit pope we've ever had, very influenced by the spiritual exercises, as are all of my Jesuit friends, amazingly so. Yeah, and so, yeah, Pope Francis is a good example. So for him, the spiritual exercise, you have to discern. That is, you have to be quiet, you have to be prayerful, you have to take your time, take a few deep breaths, and try to feel the power of the Spirit. When Rahner understands his spiritual exercise that way, he says what we got to do is get prayerful and get ourselves in tune with God, and then say I got time to make a decision. So now I'm supposed to take my time, and as I'm going along, if I'm patient with myself and patient with the process, if I got the luxury of time, Rahner thinks if we're prayerful, sooner or later, one solution to my problem will appear to be the right one. Hmm. It'll feel right. It's not because of her, well, what am I going to talk to my wife about her brother messing up my life, and am I going to say something or let it go? You know, and sooner if we get prayerful and do discernment, sooner or later they say, keep your mouth shut. It's just going to make it worse. Suck it up, lad, and carry on, and try to be nice to your brother-in-law, and try to make friends with him, and find something you have in common, and do that. So now that I discerned that response to my problem,
right.
Pope Francis, a great example of so many things. Patience would be another one, discernment.
So related to maybe the example you just gave about challenges or annoyances in life, and Thomas Aquinas and some of the moral theology about dealing with annoyances of life and how patience plays into that.
Yeah, Thomas Aquinas, great. He structured his whole moral theology around the virtues. Three theological faith, hope, and charity, and the moral virtues, prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance. He saw patience as a subset of the virtue of fortitude. Mm. So we need strength, fortitude, courage to deal with big problems, you know. And he said that patience was a subset of that, helps us to deal with more the annoyances of life, what annoys us. And part of what you need to do there is to be self-aware. You know, you have to see, what things do I deal with easily, no big deal. You know, my colleague at work talks too much, but I don't care and doesn't bother me at all, you know. But when my daughter doesn't keep her room clean, it sets me off. Oh, that's dumb. Why is that? I mean, so she doesn't keep her room clean. It's not the end of the world. No, it sets me off. It bugs me. Why, her mother has taught her better than that. She shouldn't do that. And so part of it, of practicing this virtue, is to know what annoys us and probably why does it annoy me. Maybe it's because my daughter, I think my daughter is, maybe she's going to be slovenly and she's not going to be a good housekeeper when she's married or something.
You know? Or not achieve her goals,
career goals.
Carry on.
So what I got to figure out is what annoys me and why. And then that becomes my triggers for how I'm going to practice. Virtues, Aquinas says, virtues eventually help us to deal with things relatively easily. So it's not, I'm grit my teeth, I'm not going to say anything to her. What you want to get to is where, hi, honey, how you doing?
You're actually at peace with it or in a rational state.
I'm okay with it. I don't have to grit my teeth. I've arrived at a state where I trust her, I know she's good, I gave her good, her mother gave her good morals and so on, so I'm gonna be at ease with it. So practicing patience is a big part of what Aquinas wants us to do, and we got a lot of opportunity to do it.
So developing a habit of patience.
Habit. See, for Aquinas, virtues are like a second nature. Hmm. It makes doing good relatively easy. No, so it's not for Aquinas. The harder it is, the better. Go to Mass at 6 o'clock a.m. and get up when I'm tired is much better than going at noon. The harder, the better. And Aquinas had a different idea about things going along with our nature and following our rhythms and following our inclinations and so on. So some guy going to say, might be harder to go at 6, but I pray a lot better at noon when I'm awake.
What about the Buddhist tradition? Is there anything that the Buddhists, we can learn from their approach?
Oh, there's that Buddhist story. I don't even remember who told it to me anymore. I did have wonderful interactions with Buddhist monks when I was in Japan, up on Mount Hiei. Went up on a cart and wonderful dialogues. And one of the Buddhist stories was a friend, a Westerner, is visiting this Buddhist monk, and a Buddhist monk, in the middle of the conversation, receives a letter. Somebody brings a letter that he's been waiting to tell what, you know, it would be. So he takes the letter, the Buddhist monk, sets it down on the table, and continues the conversation. So the guy, the Westerner, says, well, why did you do that so you would be patient with me and so on? So, no, even if you weren't here, I wouldn't have done the same thing because I try not to act until I've got inner control of my emotions. So that he was practicing the virtue of patience. He would only go open the letter after he knew he was at peace, that he could deal with whatever the letter said, good or bad, that he was prepared to accept what was going to happen. Yeah, so yeah, much to be learned from the Buddhists, a great unconsciousness on inner workings, on quieting the spirit and keeping our desires in some sort of control.
What about Thomas Merton and allowing things to unfold?
Yeah, he had a phrase. What was it? He had a something about patience, that internal patience he wanted. Merton, Thomas Merton, great Trappist monk, right? And I think he saw it, again, in a fundamental attitude that we took towards life, that we have to accept life on its own terms. But I got to get a caveat in here. Because Merton also knew there's some things we should be impatient about. Mm-hmm. We should be impatient about injustice. We should be impatient about war. We should be impatient by the fact that we're not regularly tuned to in our prayer life. So there's a proper impatience for Merton that's absolutely vital to get into the picture. So there's a time to act. There's a time to say, this is not a time to be patient. Now is the time to go on strike Now's the time to visit the peace vigil. Now's the time to work for racial justice and so on. She's a famous book, Conjectures of a Guilty Bystander. You know, he was too patient, he thought. He was not engaged enough with the evils of the world. So this is a counterpoint to almost everything else we've been saying that Merton brings to our mind. You have to try in various ways to sort it out. There's some things we should be patient with, like the colleague at work who talks too much. There's other things we should be impatient about. That is ongoing racial injustice in our country. So it's a deep existential kind of patience that is comes from within. For Merton, it's all about getting in touch with the true self. Hmm. The true self, Merton says, will take us to God. You find God is to find your true self. To find your true self, not the false self that you portray to the world, not the false self you pretend to be, not the false self you would like to be, but the true self. That's where we find God. That's where we encounter the Spirit and find the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Yeah.
How about the fifth door we open up and enter? And it's closely aligned with annoyance life, but this one's one step further, and that's patience through life's difficulties and hardships.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's the practical stuff about something, you know, your spouse says something to you and you are ready to fly off the handle and so on. Have a plan. Plan is, honey, can we talk about this tomorrow? Now, you might know that she's not open to that, you know, so you have to gauge this, but or to say, take a couple deep breaths. That's a common thing, you know. Take a couple deep breaths before you talk to your son about his poor grades. Think it over. Get quiet. It's the Buddhist thing again. Get some inner peace so that you can demonstrate patience in the overall picture. So there's, again, I go back to that other thing of know thyself. That's the great Greek wisdom, know thyself. And there's a Christian virtue of that. Know thy true self. Know that you're in God's hands. Know that Christ is with you. Know that the Holy Spirit strengthens you. And now out of that, be self-aware of when you might fly off the handle and say something you never should have said, and a couple breaths. Mm. Give me, maybe not tomorrow, honey, but give me 10 minutes. Give me 10 minutes to think this over so I don't say something stupid that I'll regret. So there's strategies that we can use on a daily basis.
And some of the challenges of, let's say, taking care of someone who has a really significant illness.
Yeah.
Some of those challenges require inner fortitude and patience.
I've dealt with many people who just are superb, unbelievable patience. The guy who visited his wife with Alzheimer's every day and fed her lunch and she didn't know who he was. I mean, that is powerful. I mean, that's the Spirit at work, you know. That's the grace of God. And it's so good, it's so helpful. Visiting nursing homes, I'm often taken with the patience of the people who care for the, because the older people don't do what they tell them to do, you know, and they are out of line and they keep repeating themselves and everything. And I've been in situations like that where I've seen them exercise patience, and I just walked over to one lady who was feeding a man very slowly, and I said, I just got to tell you, that is so inspiring to me. So inspiring to me.
Yeah. How about the final one, this idea of slowing down, the importance of slowing down? But I'm going to say one of the biggest challenges for anyone is the role of technology in all aspects of our life.
Yeah.
So the idea of slowing down, most of us can agree to it, but the difficulty with our...
We want it quick, right? I get a solution. I want to know what a Chinese Confucian temple looks like, and In the old days, I had to go to the library, and they didn't have the book, and I got an interlibrary loan. And 2 weeks later, I'm reading about a Confucian temple. Siri, I need Confucian temple video. There it is. So it happens all the time. I think it sharpens the problem with patience, you know, that we expect now, we expect everything to be quick. Soon, even a slight delay is annoying. It's annoying on the phone, isn't it? When you don't get somebody, you get another recording. So modern technology is what I want to get one of mine in. I got something else.
You do?
Yeah. Thérèse of Lisieux.
Okay.
A Carmelite nun, came from a big family, and at age of 15 entered the Carmelite nun. Thérèse of Lisieux, the little flower, we call her. And she wanted to be a priest. She wanted to preach on every continent. She wanted to change the world. She wanted to do heroic deeds and so on. And with that whole desire, passionate about preach the gospel all over the world, I'll give myself, I'll be a martyr. Here she is in a convent. What's she gonna do? She's there for 10 years till she dies of TB. And she decided, I'm going to follow the little way of charity, the little way of charity. And so what she did was try to make everything in her life show her patience and regard for others. And so one of the things she did after they went from chapel to the refectory, this woman, nun, was in a wheelchair. She takes her at a very slow pace because the nun wants to go at a slow pace. She takes her time and sits her down. She cuts her meat just like she wants it cut. She does this every day. She's totally patient. This is her way now of serving God. One other example of her, she was a nun behind her in choir when they're in there in chapel praying, made this clucking sound constantly. And it's driving Thérèse nuts. She doesn't know what to do. So she tries to pretend like it doesn't bother her. That doesn't work. So she came up with a creative solution. She decided she was going to hear that clucking sound like a hymn being given to God. And she would join in that hymn to God, that praise to God, and therefore transform an annoyance into a prayer. Thérèse, she's made a doctor of the church. She only had 33 doctors of the church in history. Only have three women, two before her, Teresa of Avila and Catherine of Siena. She's now a third woman, female, doctor of the church. She lived 10 years. She didn't study theology, 10 years in the convent. She didn't study. She didn't write. She did dictate a book, but she didn't have a theology degree. She didn't none of. She's a doctor of the church because she showed us the value of the little way. So somebody could hear this and say, you know, I could try to do that. I could be patient at work. I could be more patient at home. I could be more patient with my friends. You know, I could, and that would be one way that I could serve God. Spread the kingdom in a way that only I can do. No one else can do it.
No. And so we never really get to the point where we're totally perfect patient.
No.
Right? So right. We're always trying to refine. Yeah. And then,
find creative solutions. No, you can't. That's the being patient with self. We didn't get that in there, did we? Patient with self. I'm developing. I'm growing. Who are you? I don't know. I'm not finished yet. I'm still trying to learn. Even at old age, one could learn greater patience. An 86-year-old priest could become more patient with the people who call him on the phone.
Wow. Well, this has been wonderful, and thank you for bringing context again, the Christian perspective on a very human goal to be more patient. This has been wonderful. Thank you, Father Basic.
Thanks, Brad.